Welcome back to part two of another episode of Real Talk, Real Feet. We have our same guests as the last episode, and if you didn't watch it yet, go check it out because they introduced themselves there. They're not going to do it again. So we're just going to start off with our icebreaker questions for today. The first one is, would you rather face Goliath with only a slingshot and a stone, or would you rather wander in the desert for 40 years with the children of Israel?
I feel like I would be very frustrated with the children of Israel, but if David could do it, I could do it. So I'm going
to face Goliath.
I'm facing Goliath by myself.
Okay. Wow.
So my initial answer is actually David, like, facing Goliath, but now that I'm thinking about it, in those days, 40 years wasn't so bad. Like, it probably just flew by.
I feel like...
It was wilderness.
Bruh, whatever. Are you going to wander in the desert? Well, if you think about it, like,
geographically,
it was a desert. So let's go. Okay, the desert or the wilderness? It's the same.
Anyway,
there was no water where they were. Anyway.
I feel like with like the way God reacted when Moses.
Yes.
The way God reacted when Moses got angry at them, yeah, I'm not taking chances. I'm definitely taking on Goliath.
See, I think if I was going to suffer anyway, I'd rather suffer at the hands of Goliath than suffer for 40 years at the hands of the children of Israel.
You know, like if they didn't live like up to 80 because they got cursed and started down at 80. To them, 40 years was just a light war.
That's
like
half of their life.
When they died at 80, yes. But if we live into like 120, if you're even like 300, 400, it's a walk in the park.
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, when you're done the 40 years, it was a walk in the park, but when you're doing it, it's rough. Gosh. Yeah. And then my second question is, if you could be guaranteed one thing in life that's not money, what would it be? Not money or happiness, because that's cheesy.
Groceries is crazy. Groceries is crazy.
Oh, definitely. Designer bags. Hmm? Designer bags.
Bags?
Yes.
If
I could be guaranteed something.
You're selling them, right?
I would definitely.
But you're going to sell them?
Yes.
Because that's money, so it doesn't count. If you're planning on selling anything,
A car.
Okay. You're not planning on selling?
No, I'll use the car.
Okay, what kind of car?
Mercedes, GLE.
But the repair cost for that is expensive.
For me, it's cooked food. Because I'm not picking groceries because I still have to make the food. But if the food is always cooked, then I'm just eating. I'm not selling my food.
It has to be good.
You like to eat, but you don't like to cook.
Yeah, but I like to eat more than I like to cook. No, that's all I'll say. I leave the rest for my interpretation.
Okay. So we're going to move into our topic for today, which is lukewarm Christians. And we're going to start off with a little bit of a temperature check. That's what I'm calling it. But it's just, I'm going to ask you, like, what do you think a lukewarm Christian actually means? that's it. So you can give me, like, how would you define a lukewarm Christian?
Ooh, it's a tough one, but lukewarm Christianity, I think. It's a tough one, but I feel like for me, lukewarm Christianity would basically be like I think at its core, I think it's just pride. Mm-hmm. Because like as a Christian so far, like I've wondered like how people survive. Like, without, like, actually, like, relying on Christ and stuff like that. Like, it's, like, the reason why you should not be lukewarm is it just makes your life generally better. So, like, I don't see any other reason why someone would want to try to do everything by themselves when they have, like, God Almighty on their side and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's just a pride issue.
So, it's like relying only on yourself instead of relying on God.
Mm. Yeah.
What about you, Trinity?
I've never actually seen it from that perspective. Whenever someone asks me what a lukewarm Christian, I say it's like someone that's like, you're a Christian on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're worldly. And that's my definition of a lukewarm.
I think mine is kind of the same. I didn't think about the pride aspect before.
Yeah, I did not.
Mine was, like, I was pulling up the scripture. It's kind of the same as Trinity says. It's like, It's Revelation 3:16. It says, "So you, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold," right? I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's basically like you're just kind of dipping your toe into Christianity and then not fully committing to it. Yeah. So the next question would be, have you ever experienced being a lukewarm Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have to talk about it, though.
Yeah. I would say when I first started off my Christian walk, I feel like I like to jokingly tell, me and my friends, we like to joke around that, when you first become a Christian, there's different phases of Christianity that you go through, mm-hmm. and we, joke around, there's, oh, the honeymoon phase with God, mm-hmm. and then after this, they're, oh, you're going to hell, you're very, judgmental of other people, and after there's, that lukewarm phase where it's, I went through that phase where it's, I wanted to be a Christian, but I was, Emmanuel said, I was relying on what I could do. And I fell short time and time again. Mm-hmm. It never came to me or occurred to me that I should go to God and then rely on him so that I can actually walk on my Christianity. It was more of oh yeah, I'm human, I'm gonna fall. And then after I would just keep walking in my mistakes. I struggled with a lot of certain sins when I first walked in my Christian walk. And I found out that I was, because I wasn't relying on God and I was relying on myself, I was very comfortable in those sins. So that was my experience with lukewarm Christianity. Sunday, yeah, I could go to church, I could sing, I could scream, I could preach the word of God to anybody, oh, you want to get closer to God, I'll write you a whole paragraph telling you how to get closer to God, everything. But then after, when I was by myself, it was I was comfortable and I was content with saying, my excuse always was oh, I have grace, or I'm a human, I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But it never occurred to me, but you have to rely on God to take you out of that. But because I was relying on what I could do, those times that I fell short, I was content with falling short.
Mm, that's a good example. What about you?
I think in the general, outlook of things, when I see, how farther I can go in Christ, it definitely gives me that feeling as if I am currently lukewarm, just because of the how much potential you have left. Yeah. It's always it's infinite. Mm-hmm. So it always makes me feel like I look lukewarm in the present. But the biggest the biggest thing that's a symptom for me is just when I get into a routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually always a thing of maybe for school, for a week, I get into a routine, and when that routine usually doesn't include God, then I get into that cycle, and I sort of, I'm okay, I need to, apparently, lukewarm, need to, reignite the fire and stuff.
I think, my entire, the first period that I started being a Christian, that entire period until, a few years ago, it was just entirely lukewarm, because it's, my Christianity is only, I'm coming to church, right? I'm taking notes at church, but I'm not really thinking about anything that they're saying, right? When I go home, I'll occasionally read my Bible out of guilt, because I feel bad that everybody around me is reading their Bible, but I'm not, right? So there's no curiosity or actual interest in being in a relationship with God until recently. So I'd say I've been a lukewarm Christian that entire period. But you can say what you were going to say.
I was just going to... God, I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, you stop me. Yeah. So I'll move on to the next question then. It's, you've all said that there's times where you feel like you're lukewarm or you felt like that. Mm-hmm. How do you actually deal with that? How do you deal with feeling like you're a lukewarm Christian?
Well, in the times that I felt like I was a lukewarm Christian, honestly, at first, I would just quote unquote comfort myself, oh, it's okay, you just started your Christian walk, it's then the third. But as I continued in my Christian walk, and being a Christian, those times when I realized that, hey, this is you're being really lukewarm, you're hot, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're being really lukewarm, at those times, it was imagine, so getting a routine and God not being in it. So I would literally ask God, reignite the fire in me. And just recently, in those times where I do realize that I'm falling into lukewarmness, I would usually stand on a scripture. And one of the scriptures that I really like to stand on would be in the book of Philippians, that talks it's God that gives you the desire to accomplish his will. Yeah. So I would always I would stand on that. I would stand on that and be I really need that fire to reignite in me, have the passion, and when I do get that high, when I do get that drive to want to do things, and I start to crave for God, I use that as like my point of reference, like, okay, like, this is like what you should strive to be on all the time. Mm-hmm. And like currently, like right now, I'm kind of in that like phase where it's like, I don't want to be hot and cold. Mm-hmm. 1 month I'm hot, next month I'm cold, next month I'm hot, and next month I'm maybe cold, maybe hot. So like right now I'm focused on like staying on that high, because I know it's possible. It's not like it's impossible. Yeah. I know it's possible, but how do like attain that? How do I like permanently remain on that high and then focus on getting to another level of high?
I think for me, two things, like when I feel poor, I think the first thing is just knowing that like God is waiting for you to come back. Mm-hmm. Like he's literally like waiting for you. I like it literally takes two seconds, but mm-hmm. literally takes 10 little maximum, let's say 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Like God, like here I am again, like, you know, I started the journey. And I think like that's the first thing, like knowing that God is always waiting for you, like no matter how far you seem to stray away. Mm-hmm. And the second thing for me will be just like enjoying the fun of Christianity, because mm-hmm. like, I feel like many times the reason why I tend to like stray away, like become lukewarm, is because I don't find like it's not fun. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not enjoying it. Yeah. Like I'm like, that's when it becomes a burden. Like I don't want to do, like I don't want to like always be working. Like I go to school, I'm working, then I come back and I have to do this work again.
Yeah.
But when I remind myself, like, it's fun, like, loving people, like, talking to God, like, you know, making decisions, stuff like that. When I remind myself of the fun parts mm-hmm. about it, like, how God has come through for me, like, many times, like, I think that's, for me, what gets me out of, like, that, like, situation.
I think one thing I'm noticing here is, like, your approaches are a little bit different. Because, like, Trinity, it seems like you like to, like, establish a kind of routine, mm-hmm. right? Like, when you're on the high end, being able to persevere with that routine, right? To be able to stay hot mm-hmm. instead of, like, falling off and then being cold again. Mm-hmm. But Emmanuel, it seems like you, if you get caught in a routine, it's not helpful to you. So you need to find a way to get out of that. So, like, kind of building on that, I think it's important to recognize, right, that your relationship with Christ is different depending on the person. I think that's the most important thing. Because, like, when I was talking about this to someone else, we were saying, like, some people will look at other people's Christianity and then be like, oh, my gosh, I'm lukewarm because I'm not mm-hmm. trying as hard. Like, in the first episode, we were talking about fasting, right? These people are fasting for 30 days, mm-hmm. and I can't even fast for more than, like, half an hour before I start thinking about food. Mm-hmm. But it's like, so then you start to condemn yourself. But I feel like the first step in, like, dealing, like, how I deal with it personally is putting my perspective onto God, mm-hmm. right? And like really trying to refocus, because I feel like when I fall off, it's because I'm not interested in God, because I'm focusing on everybody else, mm-hmm. right? So if you're dealing with that, I think it's helpful to like, one, redirect your focus and then look at what you actually need to do. So whether it's a routine or like breaking out of that routine.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of in the next question, kind of like what I just did, what's one piece of advice that you'd have for somebody dealing with lukewarmness?
Going off of what Emmanuel was saying is like realizing that God is actually like waiting for you to like come back. There's been times where like I felt like I'm falling off, like how you said, like looking at other people. There's been times where I look at other people and I'm just like, oh, like you're speaking in tongues for like 10 hours. Yeah. I find it very hard to stay like that. So like literally looking back at scripture as well, like the prodigal son and his father, and how God would not give you that example if he didn't want you to apply that. So like I look at it and meditate on it, and I'm thinking like God is a good father, he's a good God, and he's waiting for you to turn back. He hasn't given up on you, and you shouldn't think that he has, or you shouldn't give up on your own self and remain content in the situation that you're in. Yeah. But rather like get up, even if you were like the best, even if you found that you were the best Christian, that you could read 30 chapters mm-hmm. 1 month, and then the next month now you find it so hard to even open your Bible, like understand that even scripture says that even if the foundation is destroyed, like you build it back up. Even if you fall down 7 times, you get back up. Like it's not, there's no like ending to like this journey.
Yeah. I feel like for me, we have to answer your question, but for me, I feel like when I see myself as being lukewarm, like my lukewarmness is not that I didn't do anything Christian and all those things. Mm-hmm. I think for me, one of the biggest things, I always look back and I notice that in that period of lukewarmness, there were still certain Christian practices that I did.
Yeah.
And I think one big advice I'll give to anyone is just like, look for those things that you still did in a period where, like, it felt like you weren't, like, relating to God, then those things are probably, they're probably, like, signals, like, those are the things you enjoy. Mm-hmm. They, like, go deep into those things. Yeah. And for me, one big thing was, when I was lukewarm, quote, unquote, there was a, like, I would just, like, once in a while, like, I would read my Bible, and there was a scripture I always, like, ended up, like, opening to. And now that, like, I'm stronger, like, if I feel, like, face, like, some challenges, like, that's, like, my default scripture, like, immediately. That's where I go back to. But that was a period where, like, I was, like, lukewarm.
Yeah.
But, like, it was still, that was still, like, the thing that, like, gave me strength, even when I was stronger than where I was before. And just, like, because, like, I know that if I'm able to do those things in a period of time where I'm not really thinking about God as much, then if I can go, like, deeper into that, then that'll probably be, like, my source of, like, pivoting into, like, not being lukewarm, basically.
I'm gonna kind of switch gears just a little bit, and because I'm thinking about something that you guys are kind of both alluding to. Do you think that God believes that there's such a thing as a good Christian, like somebody who's good at being Christian? Because it's like, I feel like when you're condemning yourself about being lukewarm, it's like, I'm not being Christian enough. Like, I'm not being a good Christian. But is there even, like, a thing as a good Christian?
Concerning that question, I don't think that God has, like, oh, this is, like, this is a good Christian, or that's a good Christian. But I feel like it's more of, like, you having a desire to want to walk in His will. Mm-hmm. He set out His word so that we walk in it. Mm-hmm. And when you divert from that, of course, like, He wants you to get back on track. But I don't think that God has, like, this is a good Christian, that's a good Christian, you're a good Christian, you're a good Christian. Because, like we said in the other episode, like, we are human, but it's more of, like, your heart posture rather than what, like, you can do or how far you can go.
Yeah.
One thing I learned recently, well, not recently, but, like, one thing I've learned is everything man-made has a, like, there's nothing man-made that has only one side. Like, everything man-made has a good side and a bad side. Like, it's just how it is. Mm-hmm. You've never seen a one-sided piece of bread. Mm-hmm. You've never seen a one-sided coin. Like, everything man-made is two-sided, but everything God made is one-sided, mm-hmm. and that side is good. There are levels in the good. Mm-hmm. So, like, when God created light, He saw that it was good. Mm-hmm. When God created this, He saw that it was good. Obviously, God creating man is higher in terms of good mm-hmm. than God creating just animals and just that. But I think with God, there's no good or bad Christian, mm-hmm. but there are levels in Christianity. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, so the first part is obviously, like, going to heaven. Like, that's the basic foundation for everyone. Then I think the next part is, like, in terms of works. Mm-hmm. It's the, where the Bible talks about, like, faith without works is dead. Like, this is, like, you need, like, to be, like, there are certain things you need to do in Christianity. Like, it's, like requirements. No, I won't call it a requirement, but just, like, roles in a sense. Like, things you need to do. That, like, when you do them, then you get rewards for those things. Like, you grow deeper in Christianity. So I think, yeah, there are levels in Christianity.
Yeah. I kind of agree first, yeah.
I was just going to say, and, like, remembering that the lack of not doing those things does not rob you of salvation. Because when you start to think like that, and I realized that in those times of, like, lukewarmness, it was because I was thinking that way. Mm-hmm. That because I don't do this. Like, when I think back on the times where I was, quote-unquote, lukewarm, it was because I found that not completing certain tasks, like Emmanuel was talking about, it robbed me of my salvation. And that put me, like, I will never forget how last year, actually, my grade 11 year, I almost, like, spiraled into, like, a sense of, like, depression because I genuinely thought that, like, my lack of ability to be consistent in those things robbed me of my salvation. So day in and day out, I would literally, like, not a day would pass by without the cross running around my mind that, like, oh, you're not saved because you didn't do this. You're not saved because you're not walking in this. You're not saved, you know. But I lack the ability to understand that salvation can never be earned and it can never be, like, given to you as a reward because you did this, that, and the third. It's simply because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you rely on Him to give you that salvation. So,
yeah, I agree. Like, I think sometimes we forget that we're not saved by works, right? We're saved because we believe in Jesus. Like, that's the only requirement for you to go to heaven, the basic level of Christianity that Emmanuel was talking about. But one of the things I also want to add is, like, I think when we get caught up in the idea of a good Christian or a bad Christian, like, give me a second to unwind that together. It's like it becomes more about performance and, like, you strive towards perfection, right? Without recognizing that God knows that you're not a perfect person, right? He didn't create you to be perfect, but he created you with the capability to do his will. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in the times, like, when I get lukewarm, it's just kind of the same thing. Either I feel like, oh, I don't even deserve to be a Christian, right? Because I'm not doing what God is calling me to do, or I'm not even a Christian because I'm not doing it, mm-hmm. even though I know that I have accepted Jesus, mm-hmm. right? So I'm focusing on being a perfect Christian instead of being, right, a loving child of God, right? Which I think should be our main focus. Yeah.
I think, like, that's the definition of what sin is, because God is a perfect standard, and anything below the perfect standard is basically sin. That's why we had 636 laws. It was just telling us God's perfect standard. And I think the biggest thing is, like, condemnation. Condemnation is like a weight, because the moment I see I can't meet the standard, then I tell myself, what's the point of even trying? Yeah. And it just keeps pulling me down, yeah. down. And I think that's why, I think it's Romans 8, I think it's verse 1, says there's therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. And I think that's, like, the starting point. Like, the moment you, like, lose yourself of all the condemnation, mm-hmm. of, oh, I can't meet God's perfect standard. And I just understand that, mm-hmm. Christ became the perfect standard for you. So, like, Christ fills up the gap for you. Like, you don't need to, like, just be who you are. Just, like, God sees you, so there's no point of acting to God. Yeah. Which is why I feel like many Christians, they think they need to come to God and act, which is why Christianity becomes like a chore, mm-hmm. in a sense. So I have to come to God, oh, God, please, 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 mm-hmm. please. And, like, but when you just come as you are, like, there's no, like, you just, oh, God, like, this is me.
Like, Romans 8:1 in the Passion Translation says the case is closed, mm. right? There's no, nothing, like, no condemnation. Any condemnation that comes is from you, yeah. right? I feel like that's the thing that we forget. It's like, you're the one tying yourself down in those moments. It's not God looking on you, right, and being disappointed in how you're acting, because he already saw the end from the beginning, mm. so he already knew that you were going to act like that, and he still chose to save you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the last thing I wanted to talk about for this episode is, what's one piece of advice that you wish that somebody gave you when you first started being Christian?
Oh, it's crazy. Because I got so many advices. But,
one... I mean, you can give a few if you want.
For me, I would say that the number one thing I wish someone told me from the jump was that God is good. Like, just tell me that, and I feel like that would have released me from a lot of things that I, like, had to, like, pass through as, like, being a Christian in the start. Like, just tell me that God is good. And now that when I have, like, friends that want to join and become a Christian, that's the number one thing that I, like, tell them, like, God is good. Mm-hmm. Because I walked, it wasn't until last year, actually, and I've been a Christian for, like, 5 years, and until last year that I had the understanding that God is good. Mm-hmm. And you know how churches talk God is good, they say all the time, mm-hmm. like, those just become, like, cliches. But until you actually receive that revelation from that and, like, gain your own understanding on it, like, when I got my own understanding on it, it changed my whole perspective on how I saw God. Because at the start, like I said before, I saw God as, like, sovereign being, headmaster.
Yeah.
Like Emmanuel said, my Christianity was a chore. Like, mm-hmm. I had to pretend, like, it was, like, a facade. Obligation. Like, yeah, like, it was an obligation. Like, every time I go to God, like, I go out, go to school, do this, do that. I come back home. I'm not even excited to open my Bible. Like, yeah. I'm like, I start being like, oh, I have to read my Bible. Oh, I have to pray. I have to do this. I have to do this. But it was because I did not have, like, the root, the foundation of that. What caused me to have that impression of God was because I lacked the understanding that God is good.
Yeah. If God is not good, what's the point of mm-hmm. being a Christian, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I'll say, like, my biggest piece, and then I'll, like, say a story that happened. So I think for me, the biggest thing I learned, the biggest piece of advice someone gave me is, like, that when starting as being a Christian, it was just like righteousness is free. Like, I don't have to do anything to become God's righteousness. Like, I think that, like, just, that was just, like, mind-blowing. Just, like, what? Like, I'm already justified. Like, and the person that, to, like, that explained it really well to me was Andrew Womack. He said being justified is, like, it's, it basically means is just as if I'd never done anything. So justified is just as if I'd never done anything before. I just, like, just knowing that the free gift of right, like, that righteousness is free to me. Like, I don't have to do anything more. I don't have to become anyone else, like, to deserve it. Then I think, like, so once I know that I have the righteousness of God, it just opens the doors. Because the Bible, through Psalms, Proverbs, and all different parts of the Bible, oh, the righteousness of God. Like, when you start to see yourself, I, so, like, because I became the righteousness, I started putting myself in the Bible. Oh, and, like, God. So, like, oh, that's me. Like, the righteousness of God, that's me. So, like, I deserve those things. Favor, the goodness of God. Like, it made me, like, I deserve, like, not, like, in an entitled way, but, like, yeah, like, that's, the Bible is talking about me and stuff. And another thing was, like, a friend of mine asked me a question, and she was, like, oh, if God is so good, why does he let good things happen to bad? What does he let bad things happen to good people? And, like, that question, like, bothered me. Like, it was, like I never found, like, eventually I found the answer to the question in church. But, like, because I couldn't answer her, we were having a conversation. And when she asked the question, the conversation basically ended. Because I had no answer for what she said. But then I found out that, like, bad things happen to good people because good people make bad decisions. So when I found that, I was like, okay, it's not because God is bad. It's not because God wants to punish anybody. God is good. Good people just made bad decisions. And that's why I do those bad things. But God still loves you regardless and stuff. So I think those would be, like, for me, the biggest advices, actually.
I would just like to say, like, the one that Emmanuel was talking about, the righteousness, that I really could connect to that, because there's several times, like he said, like, several times the Bible's like, the righteousness of God this, the righteousness of God that. Even, like, in, like, this Bible verse that says the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. I lacked the confidence to believe that my prayers were answered, that my prayers were effective, until I had that understanding that, like, because I've been justified and I'm made righteous, now this applies to me. Like, portals just begin to open. I begin to be able to receive everything that's, like, the Bible is talking about. No longer am I just, like, reading it and feel like God is talking about somebody else. Now I feel qualified to receive. And now it gives me the ability to, like, during prayer, to stand confidently, knowing that there's no animosity between me and God. And this scripture applies to me. No longer am I trying to, like, convince myself, well, yeah, Trinity, don't worry, this is for you, this is for you, regardless of what you've done. This, no, like, now I have the ability to stand confident that this scripture is literally, whilst God was inspiring his servant to write it, he had me in mind, this scripture applies to me.
I like, because in church too, like, when we're making confessions, we put ourselves in the scripture. Like, if they're saying the house of Jacob, we're like, oh, Faith Chapel, or my own family is experiencing this kind of blessing. So I feel like it's important to build that skill, like, to actually believe what it is that you're saying, right? And to see yourself in the word, because that's how it becomes alive. But the advice that I would give to somebody is just, like, knowing that Christianity doesn't demand perfection. I think that's what I'd say, right? Like, you don't need to be so caught up on trying to be perfect, like the perfect person, the perfect Christian, right? Because God doesn't expect that from you. He just expects you to desire him and to try your hardest to be like him. Right, so if you fall off, it doesn't mean that you should completely give up or put yourself down, right? But you should get up and keep trying. So with that, we're gonna end this episode. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, guys. Bye. See you.